Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and start out without any delays tonight. And we're going to welcome the Honorable Pastor Rowe to tonight's broadcast. Pastor Rowe, it's always a pleasure and honor to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be on, Dr. Walker.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to go to Port Rosette. Port Rosette, thank you for being here.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and all the co-hosts. It's a pleasure to be here with you all.
Excellent. Let's go all the way to the Peachy State and welcome Miss J. Miss J, nice to have you with us.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here again and happy Thursday.
Excellent. Miss J will come back on momentarily and read the disclaimer for us tonight. Let's go ahead and welcome Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, always a pleasure, sir.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy to be here and ready to have a great show for this evening.
Excellent, excellent. Tonight's topic is, if I can't see my own faults, then how do you really, you know, how do I know if or when I'm doing something wrong, if I can't see my own faults? Ricky Rescue, I want to start with you just before we go to the disclaimer by Ms. J. If I can't see it, no matter how much you're telling me I'm doing something wrong, if I can't see it, then how do you expect me to know if I'm doing something wrong? Ricky Rescue, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's difficult to, I guess, say someone is doing something wrong that they can't see, and actually it makes the other person more frustrated because you continue the same cycle of being in that frustration that someone continues to do something, but you can't even get them to understand what the true problem is.
Okay. So, all right, with that in mind, Pastor Roll, I want to bring you here just before we do. Ms. Jay, you want to go ahead and give us that disclaimer, please?
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
Excellent, excellent, Ms. J. Thank you for that. Pastor Roll, I want to go in here just before we do. I want to welcome to tonight's broadcast Brother Lorenzo. Brother Lorenzo, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me tonight. Traveling to Buffalo, New York, baby. You know where I am, so thank you for
All right. Well, you be safe on that road out there. We're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here. If I can't see my faults, and you're saying that I'm doing something wrong just before we get into tonight's story, then why don't you just keep forgiving me? You know, if I'm doing it wrong, just keep forgiving me. What's the big deal?
Well, you can say your thoughts, you know, and I kind of think of David. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, and he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, and so to know the thoughts of God, you got to have the word in your heart, you know. As we mentioned, I think the last show, in his law, does he meditate day and night? Know the word. And then once you get the word implanted in your heart, then the Holy Spirit is in us there, you know, to lead us and guide us the right way. So the key to that, if you don't know what your thoughts are, how do you know if you're doing wrong? You know, you're not going to know if you don't hide the word of God in your heart. You got to know the word of God. And that's why we have Bible studies, you know. So that's why we have this show, so we can learn the word of God and know how to apply it. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so are you telling me then that the people who you might say don't have God in their hearts, they don't know right from wrong when they're doing something wrong?
Well, no, I'm not saying that, because, you know, we, you know, David was doing wrong, you know, and he said, you know, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression and create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You got to pray, and that's what even our show is about, you know, showing people how to pray, how to get answers to what they need, so that if they're doing wrong, you know, the thoughts, the negativities would be revealed. And that's one thing I like about what you're doing, and, you know, these different geographical locales, you know, we want to not only help people, you know, give them bread and food and meat and water, whatever, but we want to teach them the word of God so they can be blessed, and God will even continue to bless them more.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. See, I want to bring you in here. If I can't see my own faults, we've got to get to the story in about 2 minutes. If I can't see what I'm doing wrong, and you're constantly telling me, and I don't see that, then how do you really expect me to change?
You know, a lot of people don't see it, because I think if it doesn't affect them in a negative way or whatever, they don't see themselves doing nothing wrong. So if you have to bring it to their attention. You have to let them know. If not, they're going to always continue to think, I'm right, because they don't want to change the way that they think about things. And if you're not told, I agree, you will think that you're not in fault for nothing.
All right, so then we're going to actually stand by poor Rosette. So if you're telling me, I might disagree with you and say, that's not how I see it. I don't see what I'm doing is wrong. You know, so why do I need to change? You trying to control me. You trying to change me. Talk to me, poor Rosette.
You know, yeah, everybody has some kind of moral compass. But in addition to that, you see how Pastor Rowe was bringing up David. I know at once the prophet Nathan did have to go to him and kind of tell it to him in a story, as far as, you know, if this was happening to so-and-so, what would you do? And then once he realized, you know, once he got the story, and then Nathan told him, you know, and he said what they should do to the man. Then Nathan said, you are the man. So sometimes, you know, people don't get it until, like Ms. J said, until you explain it to them what they're really doing to you, you know?
Right. Okay, that's a very good point. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go to Fashion for Greatness. Fashion for Greatness, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here on the line. Thanks for having me.
All right. Fashion for Greatness. I'm going to ask you the question that I've been asking everybody tonight. If I can't see my flaws, why are you trying to, and I'm looking at that you're trying to control me, because you keep coming at me that I'm doing the same thing wrong all the time.
Repeat that?
Yeah, if I can't see that I'm making a mistake, you know, if I'm out here It could be anything. If I'm doing drugs, you know, and I say I'm only smoking marijuana, you know, and so what's the problem? You're dating me. I'm only smoking marijuana, but you met me smoking marijuana. So why are you trying to get me to stop? So I'm not doing anything wrong. It's legal now in certain states.
Well, because after a while, it could be detrimental for your health. And if it's not beneficial for your body, then I would say stop, especially if it's things lacking that you're doing or consistently. Yeah, I would say stop, continue to tell you.
But even eating sugar can be detrimental to your health. You're not telling me to stop that.
Yeah. If it's something bad for you, and if I know that the doctor has said, hey, this is something that you should stop doing, I'm going to continue to tell you. But after a while, you're going to have to try to take that initiative for yourself and see that your health means, you know, your health is important to you as it is to me, but you have to see that for yourself. Because after a period of time, I mean, you can't take a, you can't force something to do something if it do not want to do it. You can't force it.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go here. Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue. I mean, it's like, is it part control if somebody is trying to control you to get you to stop, like smoking marijuana that's legal now in a lot of states? Or is that really like, you're really looking out for me because you want me to stop?
I think it could be different things for different people. For some people, it could be control. But also with this, it could just simply be a miscommunication. So when I say a miscommunication, we often do what's, you know, called two-way communication. I say something, I send it to the other person, and then that's the end of the conversation. And it really doesn't include a lot of dialogue to really see what we're trying to understand. And so I feel like oftentimes, especially when we're emotional about certain topics, we come in with expectations thinking that we communicated something to our loved ones or whoever we love at the time, and because they already know us, we kind of expect for them to understand what we're saying, but that truly doesn't mean that they understand. And so I think that's where part of the confusion comes in. So I think it could be both, either a miscommunication or it could be a controlling thing.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the night story right quick, you all. If I don't see my faults, then how do I know if or when I'm doing something wrong? Francine and Eduardo, these are our characters in tonight's story. And as Ms. Jay said, all the stories are inspired by true events, and we welcome all people's opinions. Francine and Eduardo, they're not married, but they've been living together for the past 14 years. Now, they have two young children, ages 9 and 11. Their kids are 9 and 11. So the question becomes now, I mean, does this make a difference, the fact that they have kids in the home? Francine is 32 years old, and Eduardo is 39 years old. They have considered marriage on a number of occasions, especially recently, but it all comes back to Francine not really having the desire to get married to him because of his serious drinking problem coupled with his temperamental anger issues. Now, there's no question of their love for each other and their family. However, Francine is really thinking about leaving him because his attitude, even when he is not drinking, has actually gotten out of control towards not only other people, but now to their immediate family. Eduardo seems to take all of his frustrations out on everyone in the home. Francine and their children are not comfortable with this and appear to be happier when he's actually not at home. When Francine has addressed or called him out on his issues, he absolutely denies having any type of problems, including anger issues. It's to the point now that Francine can't even have a rational conversation with him without him blowing off steam on her. Eduardo feels that Francine is always attacking him with verbal criticism, and he lashes back to her by asking, "How do you expect me to see my faults if I don't know if or when I'm doing something wrong?" He insists Francine is just a nagging woman and feels that she's really the problem. Now, here's some of the things that Francine calls him out on. He drinks every day. and comes home late with the smell of alcohol all over him. He finds the smallest or insignificant thing to argue about, usually because he's been drinking. He's calling her derogatory names, and occasionally he shoves her. He's yelling constantly at the children for no apparent reason. He's been warned on his warehouse job about his drinking, tardiness, and picking fights with the workers, with his coworkers. His spending is out of control with his alcoholic behavior. He's confrontational with people whenever they go out. He's confrontational with people whenever they go out, which Francine and the children are reluctant to go out anywhere with him. There are times when he is extremely nice to his family. There are times when he is extremely nice to his family, and yet it does not last very long. He still tells Francine that he does not have a clue of the faults that she has presented to him because he does not see himself doing anything wrong. Now, Brother Lorenzo, I want to go to you, and ask this question in here because, it can be rather difficult sometimes when we don't see our faults. So, what would you say about this guy?
Sometimes that when you're in sin, you don't even really see yourself. So it comes to a point that I don't care how many times that Francine comes to him, he don't see himself. If you really got to look in the mirror, maybe just go to AA or Alcoholics Anonymous and really get to the point where he can't see himself. But other than him not seeing himself, she sees him. So it gets to the point where he can't see himself, but she can see him, and she's going through the problem. But she thinks he's not going through any problem. So it's going to always be a tug of war. It's going to always be a tug of war there. You're not equally yoked, but you're going to always have problems.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Let's go in and welcome to the site, new party with us. We welcome Ms. Andrea Sanderson, a.k.a. Woman of Faith. Woman of Faith, nice to have you with us. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Glad to be here.
Okay, excellent. Woman of Faith, let's go to you and ask you the question. If Eduardo can't see his faults, then wouldn't it come across to anyone that you're nagging them and that you could be the problem?
Well, my question is, why is she even with him? It seemed like she has a low self-esteem. And if I have to tell you one time, three times, four times, then there's definitely a problem. There won't be another chance to fix it. Because if I have to keep talking to you, I won't be nagging anymore. I'll be gone.
Okay, but that's you, woman of faith, that, not everybody may be that strong. So you've got two kids with this man. You're not married to him, but you're living with him for 14 years, which may not necessarily be your situation. But the fact is, even if you were married to him, where does the love come in? He's not cheating on you. He shoved her on occasion. But, do you leave him? Or what about for better or for worse?
There's no better or for worse in a situation like that because she's not yet married to him. And he speaks badly to her and to the children. What example is he setting for the children? She needs to decide, do I want to live with this? There's no gratification in for her. All she's getting every single day is just a lot of arguments and he's degrading her and he's degrading the children. So there's definitely no reason why she should stay.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Poor Rosette, I want to bring you in here. So, poor Rosette, do you just walk out on a person or do you try to get them some help, even if it takes years, 10 or 20 years, poor Rosette?
Yes, I really think unless she can talk to him in terms of asking him, how he would feel if she was doing what he's doing to her, to him, it has to be a way where she could kind of show him in some way or even when he comes home, tell him to look in the mirror. He has to be able to see it. But if not, then if he doesn't want to acknowledge it, it's, you know, they're not going to be able to fix the problem. So,
okay. You know,
yeah,
it's
best for her to go.
Okay, as difficult, Pastor, what I want to bring you in here, as difficult as it is, sometimes the people that are closest to you, we have a hard time actually listening to them, because sometimes it's like they're so close, and sometimes our thinking process may be that, oh, they just, you know, they got to say stuff. Let me figure it out for myself. Even with children in the home, when they reach teenage years on occasion, they don't want you telling them anything because they think they know everything. So, Pastor Roe, we'll bring you in here tonight and say the same thing. Here it is, this guy, he can't see himself. So it's very difficult. You can talk until the sun sets or the sunrise or change colors. If you can't see it, who's really wasting time? Wouldn't you be wasting your time, or are you?
Well, you know, I don't think, you know, I had my own secular thoughts before I met the Lord, you know. But I do know what Scripture says. That's the only thing I can go by. Is it says, with love and kindness have I grown them, you know. And Scripture also say, ye are the salt of the earth, you know. But if you lost your savor, you got to stay salty, you know, another way of saying it. And then Scripture also say, he that winneth souls is wise. And then also, how often shall you forgive your brother? Not only seven times, but 70 times seven. And then another Scripture says, come let us reason together. You know, you just got to know how to communicate with people, you know. You got to do it the Jesus way. You know, if God said it, I believe it, and I have to trust him that he's going to fulfill, you know, the desires of my heart. And, you know, I desire that he change, but the only way you can do it is with love and kindness. That's how you draw people. Just keep on. Say, God, you said it. God, you said it. And you can win people with love and kindness. That would
okay,
see
so Pastor,
themselves.
Are
you
saying that even if it takes 20 years, you hang in there? Seriously, Pastor Rose?
Well, I'm just saying, how long did Jesus hang in there for us? You know,
right,
I mean,
really?
I'm just saying, winners never quit and quitters never win. You know, you got to just keep on loving that person, you know, and God can make the change. You know, you got to have the powers of perseverance, you know. He that persists, you know, I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on keeping on because I can't change nobody, but God can.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. We're going to bring in Miss J. Miss J, I'm looking for the practical thing to this thing now. I mean, if somebody, here it is, this guy, he can't see his fault. So to me, now this is just my opinion. If I can't, if it's affecting me and the way that I operate, Miss J, and it's like I can't deal with this anymore, my cup has run over, I got to make a change. Is that so wrong, Miss J? Don't you think now that Francine has to make a change? Because he doesn't see himself. He doesn't see his faults or his flaws. What do you think, Ms. Jay?
Yes, he has been in denial and defenses for too long, 14 years. That's just too
yes.
long. That don't mm-hmm. mean you're going to stop loving the person. But, you know, you have to let him know. I try to do an intervention with him, or I tell him you got to get you some help, or something's going to have to change because, you know, you're going to have to want to change because I can't, I'm going to say I can't stay in there in this any longer. She stayed in it too long, really, 14 years, and all these things you list on how she's treated him, you know, that's ridiculous. She needs to go ahead, tell him you need to get some help that won't change my love for you, but you have to want the help, and until you get it, me and these children, we can't live under this condition anymore. And it's not that she's breaking in a commitment because she ain't married to him, legally nor godly. So, you know, she needs to, you know, pack her bag and say, my love's still there, but you need to do something for you. And stop getting these kids involved in this. I always put my kids first. These kids involved in this type of family life,
Okay. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky the Rescue, I want to bring you back in here and say, Ricky the Rescue, couldn't we be, when we allow this situation to prolong, like this case with Francine and Eduardo, could it be that Francine, by her staying so long, has enabled him to continue this behavior, even though he can't see it?
Well, not only is, you know, in those situations, she could be enabling him, but I also feel like in this situation, she could be actually deterring her own self-confidence and self-esteem, right? Because in situations like this, if, especially if it's real detrimental to what you're trying to accomplish in life, if it keeps bringing you down, you're really compromising who you are. And so before you even get to the point of enabling someone else, you're actually destroying yourself before you even get to the stage of enabling someone else. And so once that process starts, if there's not a real good intervention to promote your own health, I don't think she could be in this situation, even when she's trying to enable and help him. I don't even think she would be strong enough to help him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good points that we're bringing out tonight. Fashion for Greatness, I want to bring you in here. Fashion for Greatness, how long? I mean, we might say, well, what did Jesus do? We might say all of these things. But, you know, we're not Jesus. We're not God. And that's not a disrespect on any way, on any form. But the fact of the matter is, our cups as humans can run over. So, Fashion for Greatness, how much are you supposed to tolerate?
Well, I would, you know, you can only tolerate what you can tolerate. And when you have had enough and you have, you know, consistently tried to get help, you know, with the situation with the family, because even though they're not married, they are family because they have children and all those things together. You know, you have to know what you can take and what you can't take. And if you have had enough, I mean, it would be smart for you just to, hey, you know, just like I heard someone say, you have to take this, remove yourself from the situation, because sometimes it's just too difficult to continue to examine someone else's behavior, because that behavior become your pattern and you become acting just like the individual person, even if you're not drinking, even if you're not smoking, you become doing just what that person is because you're discombobulated and have been.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Fashion for Greatness, woman of faith, let's bring you back in here. Woman of faith, and I want to ask this question to you, and that is, I mean, here it is. I mean, if he comes back, if Eduardo comes back and he apologizes, says, listen, baby, I'm sorry, I can't help myself, you know, I mean, should she stay, even though he's been apologizing for the last 7 years? And you're hoping one day he will make this effort to change. What do you think?
Apologies don't mean anything if there's no action. Apologies is a spoken word. I believe in strictly actions. If he's not showing me that he's doing something to change, then I'm just going to simply say, sorry, words mean nothing without actions.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask stand by. We're going to go to more of the phone lines. We're going to open up tonight. Let's go to 678-964. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hello. Dr. Jesse, this is Jeffrey McKinney on the line.
Thank you, Jeffrey McKinney, for joining us. Give us your thoughts on this here. What do you think? I mean, if I can't see my faults, how do I know when I'm doing something wrong?
If you can't see your faults,
yeah.
How do you know you're doing something wrong?
Yeah.
If more than one person keep telling you the same thing over and over, then maybe you should look at yourself as being the fault. I've been in that situation before, and people have said, you're this type of person or you're that type of person, and I don't listen. But if five people telling me this, maybe I should address it.
Okay. But couldn't these people be jealous of you? Couldn't you look at it that way? They're just jealous of me.
That's a very good statement you made. They could be, and they couldn't be. You have to take a look at yourself. It starts with yourself. You have to take a self inventory. It starts with yourself, and you have to say, are these people telling the truth? You know, am I this type of person? It starts with your own character and your own self-discipline and everything.
All right. Jeff McKenzie, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone lines once again. We're going to go to 757. The names are not coming up in the queue. That's why we're calling out. The first six numbers, 757-869. Welcome. Who do we have with us? You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Jesse. This is LaDonna. I'm delighted to have joined you this evening. Oh.
Thank you, Ms. LaDonna. Thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, I mean, would your cup run over if you're not getting what you think you should get in terms of respect, like in tonight's story?
Respect is a basic human condition. It is the lowest of things that we should grant other human beings. There is no way in the world anyone is going to make me believe that this person does not know that they're disrespectful. You know disrespect by how people respond verbally and nonverbally. After 14 years, he knows this woman. He knows his children. There is no way that he is blind to his behavior. And as the young lady said earlier, an apology is not even going to count. 14 years, this is repeated behavior that he is doing because she has allowed it, unfortunately. So it's partially her fault. But he can look at her face. He can feel the tension in the home. He can experience the hurt and the disappointment that his partner and children are going through every day. So, unfortunately, I'm not one of these rose-colored glasses people that think God's going to deliver him from foolishness or is that he's going to look in the mirror and one day be redeemed. He is not. Eduardo needs to spend time alone or with someone who will disrespect him is equally or greater than he has disrespected her to understand, because he's a narcissist, first of all, to understand what he has done to her. He has to get out because it will only escalate. He will never change. He can apologize until he's blue in the face, but he's not going to change because she hasn't proven to him that she's not going to tolerate it.
All right, excellent. Ms. O'Donnell, we are certainly glad to have you on here. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Poor Rosette, I want to bring you in here. A lot has been said here. Those are kind of my sentiments as well. I mean, after you've tolerated for so long, and of course, Francine, there have been probably multiple conversations on this same thing, and that's why I said earlier, if the person is not willing to make a change, then the change has to be within you. Poor Rosette, so I want to ask you here, I mean, do you just hope and keep praying when you know that God doesn't impose his will on anybody else? What do you do, poor Rosette? All right, perhaps we're missing poor Rosette. Let's go to Ms. J. Ms. J, we're going to bring you in with the same question. I mean, come on now. Your cup is run over. And, you know, your passion for this is like, this person is just not going to get it. And so now you're out here, Ms. J. You've left them, but now you're lonely for them. And they're begging you to get back. And, you know, people will straighten up temporarily. So what do you do? Do you take that risk and go back, Ms. J?
You know me. You done gave me 14 years of hell, and you think I'm going to jump back in the fire? You know, like the lady just said, you don't change that easily. And if he do, I wish him well with someone else. But it won't be with me because I have had my chance and you didn't succeed. So I would be gone because enough is enough. And why would you jump back in the fire?
Yes, exactly. That's a very good point. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to all the way to Texas and bring in Ms. Neela Lewis. Ms. Neela Lewis, thank you for your patience. I want to bring you in here because we got some comments that are coming into the studio that won't stop. And one of the first things I want to ask is that Francine, do you think if she marries him, Ms. Lewis, it might make a change? It might change his behavior?
I did not hear everything because I just came in, unfortunately, but I gathered from what other folks have said, these two people are not compatible. So if they're going to counseling and counseling and counseling, just beware when a couple is going to counseling just to live right and to live happy, they need to pack up and leave and go their different ways. Because I've seen it. that it doesn't work. I'm not saying you can't get counseling, but not constantly. You constantly do the wrong thing, the bad thing, shoving her. No, that's disrespect. I would never marry to a man who puts his hand on me. No. She needs to go. Pack up and go and find a compatible partner.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Nee Lewis. I want to go to Ricky to rescue. Ricky to rescue. Sometimes people don't understand the depth of how much love has on people. And it is said that love is the strongest force in the universe, the strongest force in the universe. So here this woman is. I mean, people are saying, oh, my cup runs over and they can just leave. But Reach to Rescue, share with our audience the difficulty in just packing up and leaving when your heart is there.
Running, you know, I was listening in, and I understand the perspectives of everyone. And, you know, it's great if you have those limits that you're able to set. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people, probably more than often, who do not set firm limits. And they get more caught up so in a relationship or in their feelings or emotions. When you start talking about 14 years, a lot of people just don't get up and leave after that long, right? Because there's a lot invested into it. You don't know if it was a home that was involved or, you know, I think there was children involved. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And so I know when we're talking about different scenarios and things of that nature, we can make real good, sound decisions, right? Because it's not necessarily our experience. But when it becomes our experience, then it becomes real. And so now that it's real and now that we're faced with it, it becomes very difficult because we're actually in it. And so I think what happens, and oftentimes, right, when you get in a situation or when you have been involved in a situation for so long, you don't want to start over either, right? And so if you don't want to start over, and you done learned the person and you done been with them and you pretty much know them or you think you know them like the back of your hand, you know, it's kind of easy or convenient to kind of stay with them. But what you may also realize, you may think you know a person, but you may not truly know that person as well. And so once you start to be with that person a little longer and you start get glimpses into who they truly are, you start to believe as well, oh, I can change them, right? And so that makes you even stay longer. So it's a lot of different things that goes into it, but I just really feel like people are reluctant to leave something that they have invested so much in.
Okay, and that's a very good point.
What has Francine invested?
Say that again, Ms. Jane.
I said, what has Francine in the story here? What has she invested with El Wado? They have the children, but it's nothing else. Her life is miserable. She don't even want to marry him. So what if?
But her love, the time, that investment of time and her love, Miss J. Sometimes
but
it's not easy to just walk away.
Her love is so wishy-washy too. From the story, her love is wishy-washy because if she loved him so much, she would be getting married. So she don't love him that much. She still ain't married him.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Let's take some of these comments. Missy, I want to give you the first one. This mail he writes in is, if I don't see my faults, then how do I know if or when I've done something wrong? I didn't think I had that many faults until my second wife left me over some of the same issues I had with my first wife. Those issues of being selfish and thinking about myself more than considering her feelings. I found out later they both left me because they said I was too controlling. I finally get it. So, Ms. J, sometimes it takes a long time for people to get it.
Sometimes it do, but like I throw it back to the story, El Wado is not going to get it with Francine because he got to get some help. And like I said before, I won't be with him in the future, but maybe he can find somebody else out there after he done got the help. But I won't get back into that fire. You know, so I'm glad this person smelled the roses.
Okay, so here in this case, his two wives left him for the same reason. So he finally got it, but, I mean,
yeah.
He lost two wives. Ms. J,
so
don't you feel kind of bad for him?
Not really, because it just took him a long time, but But he finally got it, according to him. So maybe the third one is the charm.
All right. Pastor for Greatness, I want to bring you in here with this next comment. But first, Pastor for Greatness, do you have a thought on your mind real quick before we move on?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to what you were saying. I'm listening. I'm just cracking up laughing. It's funny, but it's really not funny because these situations do happen every single day. And I like what the gentleman said right before she came in. You know, you never know the situation until you actually in the situation. You know, you never know what you're going to do. Just like you said, time, investing a lot of time in a situation, I do understand, you know, somebody shoving you and pushing you and things like that, that is unacceptable. But I wanted to go back to a question that when you said, could the person obviously be jealous? Why would you be jealous of someone that's going to be, you know, putting their hands on you, drinking, smoking, or, you know, having a bad behavior of disrespect to his own self? Because he's really not identifying with his own fault, because he's really doing it to himself, but the person is just in it. So jealous of what?
Well, I think that they were referring to, and we can bring Brother Lorenzo in, I think it was him who mentioned that the person, or Ricky to Rescue, one of those, who said, I presented it that maybe the people could be jealous, because not of the situation with Francine and Eduardo with him shoving her, but if five people, and I believe, no, this may have been Jeff McKenzie who said it, if five people, one of the parties said it tonight, if five people are telling me the same thing, then maybe I need to look in the mirror at myself. And so what happens is, could it be that those people are jealous of that individual, not necessarily with Eduardo and Francine?
But jealous of what, though?
Well, jealous, sometimes people can seem to give the appearance that they have it together, and other people can be out there, you know, and looking at this person like, oh, he thinks she's better than anybody else, or she thinks she's better than anyone else. Just jealous from that perspective. But we're going to ask you to stand by. I want to bring in Miss LaDonna again, with bring her in for a couple of, for this next comment that's coming to the studio. And we're almost out of time, you all. We're going to ask Miss Jay, would you like to close us out tonight?
Sure.
Okay, all right. We're going to bring Miss LaDonna in, and that'll be Mr. Jay in about 16 minutes. Miss LaDonna, this comment from this female, she says, please don't let what happened to me happen to you. I made it all about me and my material things that I wanted from men. Now that I'm in my late 40s, it's hard for me to find a good man because I'm so stuck in my past ways. I realize now that's not the way to be. So what do you say? She didn't see her faults at the beginning, obviously, and now she can't find a man, and she's only in her 40s. Ms. LaDonna, what do you say to that?
Well, I'm going to say a couple things to that. There is no you can't find a man. There is no such thing. That's a lie that's perpetuated, especially to black women, to make us feel that we're less than and we've done all the wrong things and there's not a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. There is always a man and plural men out there for you. You just have to examine yourself and stop looking for them first and foremost. They'll never find you if you're on the hunt because you give off frantic, thirsty, I want more than you can give me. That's the first thing. The second thing is self-reflection is important. We are never going to be better as individuals, as human races, as the human race, if we don't self-reflect. So realizing that she spent too much of her life worrying about things that don't matter. And I could go into a whole diatribe and soapbox about consumerism in the black community and owning things to make ourselves feel better. It stems from slavery and colonialization. So I will defer from that, but I will. You have made a mistake in the past focusing on the wrong things. You can't love things as much as you love yourself. We have to acknowledge what is important to us in different phases of our life. Yes, when you're young, you want the fast car, you want the expensive clothes and the nice apartment. And as we progress, and good, intelligent, and wise people learn from past mistakes. It wasn't a bad thing that you focused on material things, but the season is over. Now you're in season of TLC. And so it's okay to reflect on that, but don't ever tell yourself there's no man out there that wants you. There's several. Just stop looking like you want him so bad.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. She was actually looking for a good man. And here we go. So Jeff McKinney, this comment that comes in, he says, you know, I've had several relationships, some good and some not so good. Unfortunately, unfortunately, I've been this way in terms of my personality for so long that women don't tend to get it. How do you expect me to change when I have been doing things the same way for over 50 years? I'm now in my 60s. So Mr. Jeff McKinney, I mean, he's like, he's been doing it. This is his pattern. This is his DNA. So how do you expect him to change? He say women don't get it. What do you think?
One thing I've learned throughout my life, we change for whoever we want to change for. That's the bottom line. If we got the right woman, we will not cheat on that woman. We will not do the things that's not expected of a man. But when you find that right woman, you're going to do what you have to do to make sure that you don't cause any friction. So you can change. It's all up to that woman. It's no such thing as you can't change. We change for who we want to change for. That's the bottom line.
Come on.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky to Rescue, I want to bring you in here and put on your therapeutic hat. How dangerous is it changing for someone when you're not genuinely interested in changing? Tell our audience, because I'm thinking something totally different here. How dangerous is it if you're not willing to change for yourself, how dangerous is it to change for somebody else and in terms of the temporary state? And, of course, there's always the exception. Rick to the Rescue.
Yeah, I feel like if you're changing because of someone else, you actually become something that you're, in essence, or the core of you is truly not, right? And so you see this often when people get married, and they may have been a religion, you know, their whole entire life. But then when they get married, all of a sudden, you know, they kind of conform to whatever their partner's religion is. And then down the road, you know, it starts to create problems. Why? Because the essence of you have been something completely different your entire life. And so when we're talking about changing, I'm wondering, are we really talking about compromising, or are we truly talking about changing? Because When you start talking about changing something as a person, you're fundamentally changing something that's probably already, you know, especially if you're an adult, it's already kind of set in stone in who you are, right? And so personality-wise, right? And so when you start talking about the development of a person, maybe I have a goal of self-improvement, things of that nature. Maybe if we're speaking of change in that sense, but to say that I'm going to change something about my personality to be with someone else, at some point, that whatever the root of you is, whatever the origin of you, it's going to come back out.
And that's the dangers, and that's a therapeutic point that we're bringing in here. Poor Rosette, I want to bring you in here, Poor Rosette, with this next comment. But Poor Rosette, let me get your opinion on the dangers of changing for someone else when you're thinking that you're changing for yourself. Port Rosette.
Yeah, I agree with what he was saying, that the true essence of the person is really going to come out, and it may be under times when there's pressure, but or if they're drinking and then they kind of like have lost control of their inhibitions or whatever, the real person is there, and it's like, I also wanted to add this. Francine, love doesn't hurt like this. You need to trade abuse for loving bliss.
All right. Excellent. Very good point. Very good point. Okay. We want to bring in Ms. Marjorie Cross and take a commercial break. Ms. Marjorie Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for your patience. Give us your commercial break.
Yes. Hello. Good night, Dr. Walker, Pastor Roland, all your co-hosts. Yes, my name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm in one of the largest companies in the world, Isagenics, and we're A-plus on the Better Business Bureau for over 20 years, and we have many health products, over 150 health products that may be able to help you with any health condition. We have products like collagen, adaptogen, and so forth. But if you want to find out more about this and other things that we offer, you could visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And you could give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Thank you, Dr. Walker, and enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Cross. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to bring in Brother Lorenzo. Lorenzo, I want to ask you the question here now. I mean, it's like we talk about changing for someone else, and we're talking about Francine and Eduardo. Do you think in your heart of hearts, and a brief answer because we're almost out of time, that Francine, if she marries him, it might make a difference?
No, I don't think it'll make a difference for the person and who they are. Whether you got a piece of paper in the ring, so you got to look deep inside yourself and who you are. And maybe they need to have a talk. Maybe she just need to leave him for like a week or two to get his attention. But you're not going to change this because you're going to get married. You might make it worse because now you done did all that dirt to her and she's going to still marry you. Okay, she done married me. I just do some more to it. So it can cut both ways.
All right, certainly. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to bring in Ms. Nina Lewis all the way from Texas. Ms. Lewis, I'm going to give you this next comment. And, I mean, this gets really interesting, this particular comment that's coming into to the studio. And I want to give it to you. This male, he says, I thought the way my mother and grandmother did things by a man was the right way until I discovered on my own that their ways were not the same for these times. They both told me not to cater to a man. This female says they told me both not to cater to a man and let him constantly pursue you and your interests. Well, none of those relationships lasted very long, and as they got older, they were miserable and alone. I don't want to be like that and spend my older years alone. So, Ms. Nina Lewis, she's saying she don't want to model what her mother and her grandmother did because they were older and alone and miserable.
Well, the Bible says that we must love one another. And if you love someone, if you love someone, especially you're taking somebody as your partner, as a woman, you're supposed to lavish him with love. And he lavishes you with love also. It's a mutual thing. It's nothing to say, oh, he lavishes me with love and I don't lavish him with love. That it doesn't work like that. It's mutual. And so I think both, the Bible says that husband, love your wife. Because I don't know why Jesus said that. Maybe he knew that men hard to love, or I don't know, they take a long time, they don't love like us, but we really give love. And men, I hope and trust that you will also learn to love, as somebody said, they change for you. I don't really see anything wrong deeply for somebody to change for you. Because if I know that my wife or my husband doesn't like this, it hurts him, I wouldn't continue to hurt him with doing that. I would want to change.
But if you can't see your faults, then how do you expect someone to see them, to want you to change, if you can't see it?
Well, they will tell you, or you will see the expression on their face that they don't like it. So if you see the expression that somebody may be withdrawing from you or showing the expression that, you know, I don't like it, I don't smile, well, find out. You can find out. And I think it's okay for somebody to change for me, you know.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Lewis, we've got still a lot to cover you all. We're almost out of time. We're going to just ask you to stand by. So Jeff McKinney, I want to bring you in here and ask the question. I mean, we're talking about changing for someone, and I heard what you said earlier, that if you find the right woman, you're willing to change for her. But then,
yes,
Jeff McKinney, isn't it just easier to just go find another woman or find another man?
It all depends up on what you are looking for. If you're willing to change for that person, then you would change for that person. If you don't want that person, you're not going to change. So the best thing for you to do is go out and find another woman.
All right. So Go ahead. Finish your thought, please, quickly.
One other thing, Doc. I think the black church needs to stop telling people, women mostly, to stay in abusive households. And that could be a whole nother show. That could be a whole nother show.
What church on that?
Right. We can do that show right here on the air. We're going to ask you to stand by. Okay, before Rosette, I want to bring you I know Ms. Jay's going to close us out in about 2 minutes. Ricky to the Rescue, I want to bring you in first. Ricky to the Rescue, because I want to present this here now. I'm just thinking, my mindset is on just get another person. If you've got to change for someone and you don't see anything wrong with the way that you are, wouldn't it be easier to just get somebody else? So here's my question to you, Ricky to the Rescue. Let's say, for example, if a man, Jack and Jill, are in this relationship, and Jack desires to want to get married to Jill, and Jill doesn't want to get married to him. So Jack gives her an ultimatum. You either marry me in 2 months, or I'm going to leave you and go somewhere else to find me somebody else. Then tell them the dangers of somebody giving you an ultimatum or threatening you like that. Ricky to the Rescue, your therapeutic app.
Well, anytime you're forcing a decision, you're forcing something that's, first of all, if love's supposed to be unconditional, right? If you're forcing a decision on someone, you're trying to force something that's supposed to be unconditional. And so when you put somebody in that situation, you are removing the true essence of love. And so when you start talking about changing stuff, like if we were just to fundamentally think about it, right? If a $100 bill exists as an example, and you change it and break it, and you get rid of it, you don't go back to the $100 bill. Like, you don't go back to the essence of truly what it was. And so it becomes something else. And if it becomes something else, it may have to continue to become something else, because when you start talking about changing, and especially when you're involved in relationships, it's not like you're just making one change. You're making multiple changes. And so that's what makes it so confusing and so consequential, because you're starting to go down a path.
Okay. That's a very, very good point. We're almost out of time before Ms. J comes in. I'm going to try to get in two more comments. This one here, poor Rosette, 15 seconds or less. This comment, this female, she says, Dr. Walker, I recall you saying over the air about a woman buttering a man's bread or preparing his meal. Well, when I first heard you say it, I thought how ridiculous that sounded until I met this special guy who treated me like a queen, and now I have no problem doing anything for him, especially buttering his bread and preparing his meals or taking up his food. It's not old school. It's about true love. My girlfriends are alone, but I'm happier than ever before. Remember, don't sweat the small stuff. It could save your relationship. Port Rosette, quickly, what do you think?
Yeah, like if she's doing it out of love and not feeling like she has to serve him to just satisfy, you know, every whim that he has, then it's good. She's feeling like she's just, you know, given out of a loving heart, that's different.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're just about out of time. We got to go to Miss J. Take this last comment and close us out. This male, he says, I always believed that the woman's role was to serve me. Now I realize that we are supposed to be there for each other. It took me multiple marriages to finally get it right. Miss J, give us a comment on that and close us out, please.
Marriage is a partnership, so we help each other. To close us out, I'm going to say we can easily spot clothes of others, but we fail to recognize ours.
And we always say, you know, and we seem not to recognize our, and we never say my bad or I'm sorry or forgive me for my faults. And you know the old saying about a hurt dog will bark. That's like if you happen to be in a situation and the things happen around you is true about you and your character, you get in that denial stage and you got so much to say about the situation. And you don't want to recognize that you are the person that they are talking about. But people, you know, they don't want to look at their own faults because if they see, they know that they're broken, they know that they will have to fix themselves. And a lot of people, they don't want to work on themselves. They rather point their fingers at people because that's a lot easier. And when we say why you can't see your own faults, I think somebody else said it, and I agree. Let's be real. I believe that people do see their own faults, you know. You know when you're not being nice to a person or when you're being critical or mean or you're hurting somebody. You know, because it's basically your personality, and you don't want to damage that so-called perfect image that you try to carry and impress people with. So, you know, you just make it seem like it's their fault all the time. But I would say, you know, if you have some good family members that love you and you can get somebody and they bring it to your attention about you, your character, and your faults, you know, don't be one of them people that like to point the finger. You know, you point one at them and four come back at you. Because, you know, you need to start putting the hand down and just be more mindful of your thoughts and your actions and try to keep an open mind with your loved ones and their feelings. Because I always say love is not meant to hurt. So when you can't stand up to what you have done wrong and you know you're doing it, you know you're hurting someone that you love, and it's not meant to be that way. And
all right. On that note, Ms. A, we want to thank you so very much for that closing. Join us here tomorrow night when the topic will be, why can't we model Christ and look beyond, why can't we model Christ and look beyond man's faults and see our human needs? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's program. Once again, why can't we model Christ and look beyond man's faults and see our human needs? Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be here Saturday morning for the International Divine Intervention Day. And, of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. So until tomorrow night or until Saturday or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Great closing on Mr. J. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Amen.
Everyone stay safe and stay well.
Oh, yeah.
Good night.